Good day, friends. I sincerely hope that you are reading and rereading this blessed portion of Scripture. We're in the Gospel through Mark, and we're dealing with the last few days of our Lord's life on earth. We're in chapter 14 of this precious Gospel, and we're right on down through to verse 26. The beginning of the chapter, you remember, we've had the fact that our Lord set the time of his death and how he should die. And the leaders of Israel didn't do that. In fact, they plotted his death, but they said not on the feast. So at the beginning of chapter 14, we have where the Lord said in 2 days, the Passover, the scribes are going to take him and they're going to kill him. You take Matthew chapter 26, you find the detail of it. He set the time of his death. As he said, you remember in John 10, no man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. He could say to Pilate, I could call for a legion of angels if I wanted to. No. His father's will was that he should be a redeemer. He must go to the cross. He must bear your sin and my sin. And then you have from verse 3 on, the feast where Mary manifested her love for the Savior, where you have the ignorance of the disciples, and you have the covetousness of Judas Iscariot, and of how he decided to betray his Lord. And then you have the Passover feast, which they remembered of how God brought Israel out of Egypt. Then we have the betrayer revealed to us in Judas Iscariot. I won't go into all this again. Then we have the Lord's table set before us, the remembrance, the memorial concerning a person. Oh, I wish I could in some way put into words the way I feel about this. I'm afraid, and I say it very kindly, I'm afraid that too often God's people come to the Lord's table. It's a mere sacrament, a mere ordinance to go through. My friend, it's the most serious, and yet shall I say, it's the most wonderful service. The only thing that God asked us to remember him about was his death and resurrection. He poured out his life for you and for me. The manifestation of his love for lost men and women. We remember the pit from which we've been digged. We remember that he is the only one worthy of worship and of praise and of adoration. And we are unworthy in ourselves. He is the one who was worthy, and he's made us worthy to come in the presence of God. How? Through his death and resurrection. Oh, may the Lord make it very precious, very clear to your own heart, so that the next time you meet with God's people, don't hold back. Don't hold back. If you love the Savior, take the bread and remember the one who bought you for himself with his own precious blood. Remember, these are memorials concerning the Lord offering himself as a complete sacrifice for you and for me. And we're to do it until he comes again. I tell you, friend, when he comes, there'll be no need for a memorial, because we'll see him face to face. This is the expectation. This is the hope of the every believer in Christ. We ought to live. We ought to live in anticipation of seeing him whom, having not seen, we love. And when you come to the Lord's table, we look back at the cross and remember what he's done for us in infinite love. And we look forward to the time when we shall see him face to face and be like him. Now let's go down to our study in Mark chapter 14, verse 26. And I bring verse 26 in. When they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. That is, the Lord Jesus and the disciples, they sung the hymn. Now starting in at verse 27 and running right on down through, we have through verse 52. We have our Lord in Gethsemane. We come now to the most crucial hour, I believe, in the life of our Savior. starting in at verse 27. And Jesus said unto them, now they've left the Mount of Olives. They've left Simon's house, and they've left Jerusalem. They went back to Jerusalem, and now they've had the Passover and the memorial. Now he goes back to the Mount of Olives. You have that in John 15. They went through the vineyards. Jesus said unto them, all you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. I don't think Peter knew what he was talking about. I don't think Peter even understood what the Lord was saying. Though all should be offended, Lord, you can sure count on me. And Jesus said to him, verily I say to you that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. And by the way, he meant every word of it. Likewise also said they all. And they came to a place which was called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. Let me just stop here for a moment. Go back to verse 27, 28. Now remember, he has left the upper room. He has given to them the memorial concerning his death, his resurrection, his return. But he said to them, all you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, the sheep shall be scattered. But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Will you go way on down to verse 50? And they all forsook him and fled. So in between you have a tremendous portion of scripture. Please notice, in verse 27, all of you shall be offended because of me tonight, this very night. And it ends, they all forsook him and fled. Now let us not be too hard on these disciples. Even though they have lived and traveled with the Savior, accompanied him for over 3 years, although three times he has announced to them that he's going to Jerusalem to suffer and to die, but to be raised again from the dead, they never understood it. They were confused about it. We had this when Mary poured her alabaster box of ointment on the feet of our Savior. The disciples were indignant that she should do this. You know, the Lord rebuked them. They never did understand. In fact, they didn't understand until after the resurrection of Christ. You say how slow they were to learn. Oh, friend, how slow we are to learn. With the word of God in our hands, with the whole purpose of God written for us to read and to understand, how slow we are to perceive, how slow we are to obey, how slow we are to understand. All you shall be offended because of me tonight. Why? Because it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. You see, he is still looking forward to his death. It's about to be realized. By the way, that's a quotation from the prophet Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. Do you remember? Smite the man who is my fellow, saith the Lord. Yes, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Rather amazing statement that in Zechariah 13, where he speaks of the fact, smite the man who is my fellow, saith the Lord. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. It's the seventh verse of chapter 13 of Zechariah. Wake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And the Lord uses this verse. I wonder why. Because he is putting together the fact that when the Lord Jesus really is crucified and smitten, and you remember it was the Lord who smote him, Jehovah who smote him. According to the 53rd of Isaiah, the sheep will be scattered. And after that I am risen. Oh, I'm so glad he put that in. After I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. You know, again I suggest the Lord never speaks of his death. Even though he's going to die alone, they're all going to leave him. He never speaks of his death without resurrection. I will smite the shepherd. Sheep shall be scattered. Let me just give you another thought in that connection. He's going to die alone. Do you remember in Hebrews 1:3, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. He died alone. Later on, we're going to find him crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He died alone, forsaken by God, cast out by men, alone. Can you see it? Can you realize it? You and I never go through that. You and I will never experience that. See, we never die alone. He's always with us. But he, forsaken by his God, rejected by men, yet he brings in this comforting thought, though he's going to be smitten, the sheep are going to be scattered, after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. You know, as I read that, I couldn't help but rejoice. What a Savior we have. He has just declared that they're going to leave him. And in verse 50, they all forsook him and fled. Not one stood by him. Yet he still loved them. He never criticized them. He didn't judge them. He warned them, but he didn't judge them. And after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Even though he's going to the cross, he's going with confidence. The confidence of resurrection. The confidence he's going to be with them again. You mean he's still going to be with these fellows who denied him? This man, Peter, who denied with oaths and curses? Yes. Even though they all forsook him and fled? Yes. Even though they all said, we'll never leave you, we'll never leave you, we'll die for you? Yep. Yes, he still loved them. You know, my friend, I don't know how it gets a hold of you, but it really gets a hold of me when I think my failures, my weaknesses never affect him, never affect his love. Oh, I come back to that wonderful verse in John 13:1. Do you remember it? Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Or as Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. I tell you, friends, we've never begun to explore divine love. You say you know much about it, my friend, you don't know very much about it. Neither do I. Our minds can't be given to fathom. You can't begin to explain or fathom the infinite love of God for his own people. My mind can't do it, but in my heart I can experience it. He loves me, and I love him. Don't you? Oh, I just think this. After I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. I'm going to meet you in Galilee. Even though you're all going to run away tonight and leave me, I'll meet you in Galilee. Wonderful thing. His hope is buoyed up by the resurrection and the guarantee that these dear men who are going to run away and leave him with all their boast that they would never leave him, he still loves them. He still understands them. He understands their frailty, which reminds me of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. He's able to succor those that are tested. Or chapter 4 of Hebrews, verse 15, he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows all about it. I'm sure glad I've got a Savior who understands Mitchell, or whatever your name may be. He knows all about you. He knows your frailty. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your failures. He knows your stubbornness. He knows all about you. And still loves you. Brother, that's a miracle. That's grace. You know what grace is? Love in action. Love in action. Once he starts to love you, my friend, there's no end to it. Goes on through eternity. Oh, that we Christians would revel more and more in the love of Christ. And when you come to the Lord's table, I come right back to it in these preceding verses. Please, Jesus took the bread and took the cup. Remember me. This do in remembrance of me. A heart filled with a passion for Christ, with a devotion to Christ, and with a longing to do the will of Christ, in spite of our frailty. Even when we fail, he still loves us. Don't you love him? Christian friend, don't you love him? Some of you are shut in, and you feel so frail, still loves you. You're the object of his love and devotion. I'm talking to some of you in the hospitals today, maybe in suffering and affliction. You're discouraged and disheartened. Remember, you're the object of his love. Get occupied with him. And he's guaranteed that one of these days you'll stand in his presence, conformed to his image. My, how he loved these men, how he loves you. And after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Now Peter said unto him, although all should be offended, yet will not I. Jesus said, before this night is out, Peter, before the cock crows twice, you shall deny me three times. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee. In any wise, likewise also said they all. Now, starting in at verse 32, we come to our Lord's experience in Gethsemane. They came to a place which was called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, the inner circle, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and said to them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death, even unto death. You stay here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto you. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but that thou wilt. And he cometh, and he findeth them sleeping. And said to Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst thou not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, is willing. The flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wished they what to answer him. And he came up the third time and said to them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. Let me just continue, shall I say, a word concerning these disciples and the Lord's love for these disciples. I shall not take up right at this time our Lord's experience in Gethsemane. I want to follow through in his love for these men. He asked these men, Peter, James, and John, to watch and to pray. Do you remember? To watch and pray. And when he came back, he found them sleeping. Even in his agony, they couldn't watch an hour. They slept. When he came the third time, He said, sleep on now and take your rest. I think there's a time element between, it's enough, the hour has come. I think the Lord just stood by and let them sleep it out. And then when he heard the crowd coming, he said, it's enough, the hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Do you ever stop to think of it? They couldn't even watch, they couldn't even pray. They fell asleep. Oh, how easy it is to sleep instead of praying. You know, if I may quote from Bishop Ryle when he said, watching without praying is self-confidence and self-conceit. Praying without watching is enthusiasm and leads to fanaticism. You need the two, watching, be alert, and to pray. And this man who said, I'll die for you, I find him sleeping instead of praying. I just suggest the tenderness of the Savior. When he came back the third time, he said, sleep on now and take your rest. It's enough. See, the Lord just allowed these men to have their rest. Oh, how tender the Lord is. How much he understands us. And he understands you. And he understands me. Just you think about that, will you? With all our boasted loyalty to the Savior, he understands. And when we fail him, he's not taken unawares. He still loves you. Why don't you love him? Why don't you worship him, praise him, and thank him? Even today, have a good time with the Savior. And the Lord bless you for his precious name's sake.